How is doing it? Don't want to break me.
Well, we want to continue with diagramming today. I just had one point to formally make before we go into those exercises. And that was the article placement. I just quickly mentioned at the end of the time last time. And that is that although the article is technically an adjectival modifier and it could be diagrammed that way, because of the way the article is used in Greek, it is placed on the same line as the substantive. It's for convenience, for neatness, and to give some more significance to the article. So if you have an articular noun, just put the article with the noun right on the line. And that'll simplify that. Okay, and that's all as far as the technicalities are concerned. Now, I'll just give you one example before we look at our Acts 1:8 and Colossians 1:17, and then do that. We'll do some other ones as well. But here's an example of what we're talking about. In John 1:4, just take a simple one here and go through it together as far as the analysis is concerned. John 1:4 says, En auto zoe ein kai he zoe ein to phos ton anthropon. Okay, in him was life, and the life is the light of men. Now, first of all, if we're going to diagram this, what's the first thing we have to note about the basic structure of the sentence? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. As far as our clause relationships are concerned, how would we describe the clause relationships here? We have compound sentence, complex sentence, compound. Yeah, we've got two independent clauses here. So that's the first thing we need to note. So when you're diagramming a sentence, take that into your mind first. How am I going to lay this thing out? How many clauses do I have? How many independent, how many dependent clauses, and how are they related? So you have to kind of look at the overview first. Well, if I've got a compound sentence, then I'm going to use bracket type of thing to describe that. And in this case, since I have two compound clauses, my line here is going to split to right at the very beginning here, and I'll have a chi in between here to join these two concepts. And in this case, I don't have this connected to anything else. In many instances, it'll maybe say chi at the beginning and introduce the whole thing. You might put a dotted line and a chi up here on a shelf or something. But in this particular sentence, we don't. Okay. Now, I'll put my two baselines like this. And so I've got, I'm setting up two independent clauses. Okay. Now, the first clause says, en auto zoe ein. Okay, that's my first clause. What would be my subject in this one? En auto zoe ein. Zoe. Okay, so we'll put that in our subject position. And then we'll make our vertical line here, crossing the line, separate the subject from the verb. Of course, the verb is ein. So zoe ein. And then we've got an equated verb here. And the thing that's on the other side of the equation is en auto. In him was life, or life was in him. So because it's an equative verb, and we've got en auto here, it's actually occupying a predicate nominative position in the sentence. And remember how we diagrammed that slanted line like this, when you have a copulative verb like this. And then, now I have a prepositional phrase occupying a position that normally is occupied by a single word. And so I'm going to put that up on a standard. Put this up like this. And then put N, and then a vertical line here separated from the preposition N out to. Okay, so A, ain, and out to is basically the structure there. In him was life, or life was in him. Now, I suppose it could be debated in a certain sense whether you should take this phrase and put it down here as a nonverbal modifier, an adverbial modifier, as a verb to be. But with a verb to be, because you're making predications and so forth, it's usually rendered this way. It's a simple predicate structure as far as the structure is concerned. Okay, question?
three times the sine of closed circles, also a set object of the circumcision.
Yes. Yeah, this is just separating the preposition itself from the object of the preposition. So that's the only thing there. And the whole prepositional phrase is attached by a standard because it's occupying an object position, or in this case, a predicate nominative position. So you use a standard whenever a group of words, phrases, occupy the position of the word. Yeah.
If you were diagramming this whole paragraph, then you and then alto would be linked back up to the antecedent.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly. In fact, if you were diagramming the whole thing, you'd probably tie that alto back up to logos someplace. So yes, indeed you would.
When you do that, would you connect it to the previous, where it's categories out to?
Yes, what you'd probably do there, yeah, if you were going to diagram the whole works, you'd have one of those dotted lines going from that alto to that to the other one and to the other one and all the way through, a thread winding you back to your initial reference. So we saw some of that in Colossians here, but that would be very appropriate here in John 1 in the prologue. You'd probably have a big thread running through the whole thing, which would be really good for purposes of showing what the thought line is. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. And then, any other questions on this part of the clause? In your next independent clause, Kai Hezaway, Angel Fostone Anthropon. Here again, we have, now in this instance, we've got the article on Zoe, so we'll just put that on the line. That's the subject here, Hezaway. Hezaway. Again, Ain. That's the same verb also. And then we've got another predicate structure here, and this time we've got a noun there, entophos. Let me write down this angle. And now, see, we've got two nouns in the nominative case. And of course, they don't have to agree in gender. That way, it's like that. Everybody. Okay, now, the question is, where does this phrase phonon prophon go? How should I diagram that? Line to line, under which? Phos, right. Yeah, because it's a genitive modifier modifying the noun phos. So underneath phos, I'll use a slanted line to the left because it's a nonverbal modifier. And then I'll just put the genitive tone. And of course, put the article on the line with the noun by convention here, on field form. Okay, good. That'll finish that for us. Now, like I said, if this was in the midst of, if you were diagramming the whole context, you might even, stick a dotted line up to nowhere for alto because you know it's going to refer back to something. Things of that nature can be done for refinement. But that's basically it. Again, because we've got two independent clauses, we'll use a split here, bracket like this, and flip the thing. Now, if you had... suppose you had three or four independent clauses, and it's conceivable, you would have these shelves in between, you see, and have as many as you wanted. You can just allow yourself a lot of space if you ever see this structure like that. Okay, well, we assigned tentatively to work on Acts 1:8 and Colossians 1:17. I think Colossians 1:17 is the easier of the two, so... does anybody care to volunteer to put that on the board and have us discuss it together? Colossians 1:17. They're all storming the platform here. It's really quite parallel to what we put up there, in a lot of respects. And he's before all things, and in him all things consist. Okay, go ahead, Bryce. You can read this if you want, or yeah, it might be easier to work over here. There's some instructions over there.
Don't
mind
too much,
because
he did Colossians
1:7. Oh, you did Colossians 1:7? That's probably harder. Let me see. Oh, yeah, it is. You did Colossians 1:7. You did it right, you get extra credit. That's a good one, Colossians 1:7. I don't think you have a new one on the end of that outro. It's just outro, right? Outro.
Oh, no.
Because then Ben takes the data. Let's get some manuscript variations on that. Okay, do you want to just describe, you know, in general, how you broke that down and why you put what you did where you did?
Well,
I'll give you a hint, it is correct.
I figured we'd do something like this because it was connected.
Right. Now, when you have a connector like that starting a sentence and it's connecting to what's been before, if you don't want to, if you haven't diagrammed the thing before, just put it on a dotted line with Kai, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you. And I saw that this was the subject and this was the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I knew it was a compound,
okay.
Compound of the sentence, and so I connected them.
Right.
And this was an equated verb,
mm-hmm.
So I put the decimal phrase as one of these complements.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that really threw me was I knew this was the subject,
mm-hmm.
But this is singular, and this was
yes.
This is plural, and this
yes.
Is singular.
Right.
But there's nothing else I can do with it. So.
Okay. And remember way back, the neuter plural is often take a singular verb.
Ah.
That's the trick there.
Okay.
Because it happens to be a neuter plural, so that's all.
And I had NALTO with mine when I was looking at it.
Yeah, it should be NALTO. Oh, I'm sorry. I told you the wrong thing. The N is there,
mm-hmm.
But you have out-tone there, the new off.
Oh, yeah,
that's
this.
What I meant.
No, yeah.
No. Just everything's okay. Just. Right here. It's data.
Oh.
And okay. You had a genitive plural there. So the line goes there, everything is perfect. The only thing is you put a new one into that.
Okay.
You send it to.
And of course that was modifying to an adverb statement.
Right. So you have an adverbial modifier, and since the phrase itself is nonverbal, you have a slant to the left. Okay, great. Good. No problem there at all. Any questions, anybody? Find how to put that together. That's a relatively simple sentence structure, although it's a compound sentence structure. You've got two independent clauses, and then so you split it and put the chi between the two, and then since you have it introduced with chi, it's really attached to something else. You attach that up to what was before. Now, actually, if you were going to be diagramming this thing in total, you know, theoretically, the way Paul's epistles are constructed with these chi stringing things together. You could theoretically go back up to, say, verse 14 or whatever it was and join this, have 14 and 17 here on a split and have several different clauses lined up like that. In other words, you could make this a part of the structure, and it just depends on how you want to draw your line, where you want to break it. When you're doing it verse by verse, we tend to break it up by verse, and then if that verse is really joined to the previous verse, just stick the chi out here. Just makes it a little bit easier, but theoretically, the way Paul writes, it's very difficult to tell when to start and stop, and so you can get some of those complications involved. Yeah.
I began to wonder there, looking at this, that whether you have ands in two different ways. You can have this and then this, mm-hmm. and then this, and then this, where mm-hmm. we have this, and then this and this.
Right.
So how, I mean, which case we got here?
Well, that's why.
Is it consecutive, or is it like this whole group up here, and then this and this down here? And then what's the difference in how you diagram?
Okay, part of it has to do, you just have to judge some of things by context. If you're in a sequential narrative, where you're describing events that take place in a sequential order. And the Hebrew students, it helps with them, with the while consecutive type of thing. When you've got that kind of a structure, then you do have them all on the same level, as it were, and sequential. But you have to make some judgments here. Now, on this particular verse, I think we have a bit of an ambiguity. We're not really talking about historical events in sequential order. For one thing, we've got this equated verb here. And it's really, you know, hard to say, in him all things consist, and he is before all things, and him all things stand together. There's really no way to tell there from the context which of those events comes first, or whether this is sequential. It may be just a statement of fact, and you don't really have anything in the context that's building up a sequential narrative. So you have a certain amount of ambiguity here as far as exactly which way you're going to put it together. And it mainly involves just how you're going to diagram these chi's. And so it's sometimes, like I say, you may have to use a matter of judgment in this. This chi, you know, could be just it's probably just adding more information along the way here. And because of the verse structure, you can stick this chi out here. Now, like I said, if you go back up to verse 14, which is the previous, verse 15. And 14 are tied together. Actually, 14 is also tied back to 13, and that's tied back to 12. You see, you just keep going on and on here. And it's sometimes hard to tell just how to set this up. You see, you have two independent clauses here. You had chi before the first one and chi before the second one. Now, this first chi ties you back up to the previous, and so you could actually link this all the way back up to verse 15, verse 14, and so forth. And a person, if he was going to diagram this whole thing as one continuous thing, he might start off with a branch here and put a gigantic branch here and then put independent clauses in all of those and say it's all strung together. But that gets a bit encumbering. So you have to somehow decide, well, I guess we're just going to diagram this verse and put the chi on dotted lines and then leave it lifted up here, and then you can go ahead and put those together. Realize that it is a narrative like that. You see, the probability that the human mind is going to be able to retain all those connections in that way is very small, and so our diagramming is reflecting that. All we have is an and we may have to make some other decisions later on when we have the context and set in the flow of the context, just how that and relates to the rest. Yes, Eric.
Translated English as all
souls. Mm-hmm.
Does it sound in the same
position? Yes, it does, except that, you know, it's there are elements of context involved there too, because you can start off if you start off with chi after something is unrelated, and then you start off with a new thought with chi first, that's where you tend to see this both and type of situation. But because of the fact that we are stringing very various conceptual statements together, this chi is probably just a conjunctive relating to the previous independent clauses, rather than coming out and saying he is both, he is, you know, before all things and him all things. It's a possible translation, but because of the fact that you've already been making some other statements about him in the previous context, this is probably just conjunctive then. If we start off a new thought with chi, then that's where you tend to see this both and type situation. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Let's chew on this other one, Acts 1:8. This one is going to be a little bit more challenging. Let's see. We'll take a look at it in the text first. Okay. Αλλά λέμψεστε δύναμιν επελθόντος του Αγίου Πνεύματος εφιούμας καί εσθέστε μου μάρτυρες εν τε Ιερουσαλήμ καί εν πάση τε Ιουδαία καί Σαμαρία καί εως εκαστού τες γης. Okay, so you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me, or me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the most uttermost part of the earth. Okay, now in laying the groundwork for this, first you see this Allah, this contrastive connector here, and you probably want to diagram that similar to the chi that you did in the other, put that up on a line and put a dotted line down. As far as our basic structure of the sentence is concerned, as far we have what kind of a basic clause relationship are we looking at here?
Another compound one.
Yeah, another compound one, exactly. And we don't have a stated subject here, but it would be the second person, you will be. See, from the, we've got one verb, esseth, and then lemseth. We've got two verbs here. You will receive power, and then you will be. So those are your two verbs, and your subject is going to be an X, basically, because it's you, plural. Okay, does anybody want to take a stab at diagramming that? Mark, go ahead.
This is a guarantee.
Okay. One thing, the ones I give you in Colossians, if you've got time, you can look in the library and find the diagrams for most of the Colossian verses that are in there. In
Thank you.
Okay, any comments, first of all? Questions or suggested alterations or anything from anybody else?
I'm going to ask you, Mom, do you need a about the first one? Need the line to separate the preposition.
Preposition from the object preposition. Okay, yeah. I'm asking you, Mom, up here, over here, this side. Just a vertical line between the F and the Umat, separating the preposition from the subject. Okay, is there anything else on that construction there? That whole construction that we want to... Yes, Tony?
I'm a little puzzled myself as to why you connected... why you connected the two verbs.
Okay, the Felfontos is being connected to Lancet Fest?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe... Mark can answer that for you.
Yeah. Well, at least it's a participle,
right?
So,
so you have a vertical line to connect it because it is a participle.
And so it would be linked to the verb in the main clause.
Right, and because it's functioning adverbially.
I was debating whether similar phrases, by instance, to how you do myself, when a several of prejudice from Brady, not trying to power under those states.
Okay, well, the problem is when we say you do that, it's still the fact that you're punishable to the genitive. And when you, the function of being legitimate and the good human certified you being legitimate picks up that construction. And the good human certified you doesn't have any direct reference to anything else in the sentence. It could be maybe the truth to modify it. And you can see what you've done basically is you kind of directed this line over here rather than here.
Yeah.
And the problem there is that it's a verbal action. What you're trying to say is we shall receive you. When to receive the material now as far as grammatically, we shall receive something when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So then it's not receiving power the phrase when the Holy Ghost comes upon you doesn't modify power, it's not modifying receiving. It's the verbal action that is being modified here. So you definitely want to make that the link to
it.
Well, it would if it was occupying an obvious position. If you had it over here, say you had a line here and then maybe it's an object. After the Holy Ghost I think that's the only time you actually see this on a standard. I thought it was a phrase on a standard. It really wanted to include this verb, or this is such as you are so and so. Because normally, by definition of preposition, to use a preposition is to set the thing in a more of an oblique sense. So unless you see it in a referring to verb situation, there might be some exceptions to this. There might be a situation where you can set the whole phrase or something that is actually in the object position, but I just don't fit with it any right now. There is the post, there is that one expression where the word doctrine is stated. But usually you'll have an article in front of it or something. A new article in front of the subject of phrase is the one that I believe that that's accepted. All right. I think the preposition is fine if you're doing this with a couple of
expressions.
Yes, right. That is quite an emphatic. But this will help you to see a little bit better that the same subject applies to each one of these birds. Now, as I said, if we have different subjects for each of these birds, we would split the line before that time. That's what we had back when we were in the closet.
So what you can do there is what I did is put branch.
M years the name, way up here, and then I just put the peptide together here. And then M is Uriah, but I put this, it's M, GDS, and, let's see, maybe I just put it this way. The term scenario doesn't have its own supposition. It's being governed by the supposition that's governing this other one here. So we can split that there, and have the M govern both of these two, and you can put a tie here. And N says Uriah. And you might even put a K in the parentheses here. Samaria. Because it is a proper noun and so forth, the first one you use the article, the second one is not, but it's pretty much governing all. It's almost as though the article governing both of them. That has to be maybe a critical point. Maybe just leave that off as a system area. And then I think what I did, I put the PASA down here to modify both of them also. In all Jerusalem and Samaria, because of the fact that they were both regions. And it was appropriate that the PASA was to use modifying both of those. Again, the decision has to be made along the line. You know, the person could say, well, no, it's not all the Judea, it's all Samaria, and then put the pop out one or the other. See, this isn't an exact science, but the same debate you come into in the theological points about modified to be reflected in the diagram. So, in that case, in other words, on the test, if I give you a diagram in that test, I wouldn't say, unless you got exactly what I got, you don't get it right. But if what you have, then you argue for it's a valid thing. It's not a possibility. Okay, and then what did I do here? All these two sides are kind of the same thing. But this side went over into here. So, if you make this a branch now, we want to understand that you can just put sides here, and then tell. So in other words, what I've got here is a bracket here itself on it. And then a side connecting this to itself to this part of it, and the side connecting this to down here. And that's it. Okay. Like I said, I'm just giving suggestions here that this is probably the simplest way to handle it. In fact, the whole thing, when we look at all these subdivisions going back up, modifying probably the excess standard, perhaps the monthly SO. Any other questions? Okay, let me give you a few more to work on. Get all kinds of things here. Let's take a little simpler one maybe there. John 11:45. I think we can do this one in class. Okay, we've got a few minutes left. And maybe we don't have quite much time, but then we'll start on that. Let me give you a few to work on for tomorrow. Let's try John 11:45, Luke 1:34, Revelation 1:8. Let's see how many we can do in the time. Colossians 4:1. Well, that should give you enough to work on for tomorrow. And then we need to do some more in class. John 11:45. Luke 1:34. Revelation 1:8. And Colossians 4:1. Colossians 4:1. Well, let's look at John 11:45 together here, and give you some thoughts to start with. See if I can get rid of it. Maybe talk this one through together here. Think out loud. Um, when we start with a un, it's false positive, but forlorn un, that's who you guys rely on. So the un, what would you do with that in this case? If it's therefore sanitizing, you know, to what went before? Yeah, just like the Allah. Just put the un up on a shelf, drop a dotted line down, and just deal with it that way. Okay, then, many out of the Jews, the ones having come toward Mary and having viewed which, that which he did, believed into him. Okay, many of the Jews. So what's your basic, raw, unadulterated, simple sentence structure here?
Many believed
in him. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so that's your basic independent clause relationship. And so the many is your subject, poloi. And then ex tonudion is going to be a prepositional phrase modifying poloi. Many out of the Jews. So you put poloi on your subject position in the baseline. And then ex tonudion will be your prepositional phrase, nonverbal modifier of that poloi. And your verb would be episkutan eisauton. Episkutan eisauton. Okay, now we have another modifier of poloi, though. In addition to many out of the Jews, we have this poi elphone test. We have a participial phrase, and this would be what kind of a participle in? Attributive or circumstantial? Attributive, how do you know? Article done. Okay. So since it's attributive, you're going to have it modifying a noun, not modifying a verb. In other words, the circumstantial participles are going to be adverbial, they're going to be connected to some verb. A attributive participle is going to be connected to some noun. Which noun would this be connected to then? Yeah, to the Jews, or actually to the poloi, the poloi, the many, because that's nominative, just like the hoi there. So, it was technically on your line connected back up to poloi. So, in addition to having the ex-eudion there as your, with the flanded line, a nonverbal modifier, now we've got a partial verbal modifier of participle. So we'll have to drop a straight line also from it. And since these two phrases are different, one of them is nonverbal, one of them is verbal, we probably have two separate lines on this one rather than trying to branch them or anything. Since they're two separate entities here, one's verbal, one's nonverbal, you want to have two separate lines. So drop a straight line down from poloi, and then we have a kind of a compound participial phrase because we have the ones having come, Elphonso toward Mary, and the Asamanoi. They elfons us, they came, and Asamanoi, they viewed. Those are two participles. They're both nominative plural participles. And one of them is active, one of them is passive form, and what's the form of verb after Asamanoi used for that. So what you'll do is put the hoi on the subject line. Well, I don't know if you want to call it a subject line. It'd be, what I would do is put the hoi there and then split. Since the hoi isn't repeated for the asamanoi, put the hoi down there and then split it and have elfonsus in one part and the asamanoi on the other with a tie that branches right there. Okay, then the elfon test on the top of the branch is going to have post came Mariam, they came toward Mary. And so the elfon test will be there and then have an adverbial modifier under that. Seen how or where or what, and so we're seeing toward Mary. That's the kind of this modifying the coming.
Where
did you say the hoi? Okay, let me just draw it here. Diagram is real hard to explain.
Right.
Let's take our basic baseline. We have hoi here, and then a 50-time that's a 8,000. Okay, now under here we have our first nonverbal modifier, X, tone, dion. I'm out of room already. Then I want to drop a vertical line from this to have my participial modifier modify poloi here. And what I do here is just put poi on this line. You see, if I add only one participle, I just put hoi in the participle. Remember, the convention for an article is just to put it on the same line with this noun. And since my two participles here are functioning as nouns, that's the way I would put it. Now, but because I have only one hoi and I have two different participles attached to it, I'll just put my branch like this. here, and not have to have any line here at all, because the Hoyer is connecting to this one and connecting to this one. Now, if I had Hoyer repeated, I'd probably put my branch ahead of it, put my branch here, and then put Hoyer up in this line and Hoyer down in that line. But because Hoyer is not repeated, it's only one, it looks like my split is coming after Hoyer here. And then so we'll just put Elko instead up here on this line, and tie here, and the abdominoid down here. Okay, and then we have some other modifiers here. Elko instead, close, clean, Marion. And then the abdominoid, that has an object, direct object, and that object is another whole clause. The point is then closed. Okay, the ones having viewed the thing which we did. So they viewed the whole phrase, the thing which we did. He did the thing. The thing was the direct object of that, the thing that we did. So.